Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome our listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba to this program, Al-Fiqh ala al-Madahib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today's date is the 21st of Rabiul Awal, 1443, corresponding to the date 28th October 2021. Today the topic is on Kitab al-Nikah, the chapter on marriage, and we have our Honorable Mufti Saab here. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa zaid, jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, the first question is, what is the definition of nikah?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem, amma ba'd, all praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, people defined and made the definition of nikah in various words, but we find that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a linguist par excellence, he defined it the best. When one studies the noble Quran, you find chapter 108, that is Surah Kawthar. Look at the ending of each verse, three verses. Kawthar, Wanahar, Abatar, you will see every verse ends with a ra, with a re. Now listen to what he, Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda, how he defined nikah. He was married, after all, to the ladli and the most beloved daughter and child of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Someone came to him and said, "Ma dhan nikahu ya Amir al-Mu'mineen?" What is nikah, O Amir al-Mu'mineen? Referring to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. He said, "Sururu shahrin," 1 month's happiness. That you see, the husband tries his level best to please his wife. The wife tries her level best to please the husband. And if you bring it in our day and our age, mashallah, then you know we're not encouraging this, or we're not saying it's permissible. I'm just telling you what happens nowadays. The couple get married and then they would go normal time pre-COVID, so either they will go to Mauritius or Maldives or Malaysia, M3 3M. So you go either to Mauritius or Maldives or Malaysia, and for honeymoon, they say. And after 1 week, 10 days, 2 weeks, they come back, then the moon also is missing and the honey also is missing. So that is not what Islam teaches. Islam teaches us sururu shahrin. So obviously that both parties try their level best to keep one another happy. Luzumu maharin, and you must pay the mahar. Mahar, the proper translation in English, wa atun nisa aswadukatihinna nihla. Nihla means you must give your wife the marital gift. To use the translation dowry, we don't like that. It has a Christian connotation. So therefore, marital gift will be the better and appropriate translation. So luzumu maharin. One day, we were in a workshop or some seminar or whatever, and I delivered a talk, and thereafter we opened the floor, and one old man, Baji, with a nice, Baji means old man with a white beard, he raised his hand and said that, "Why must we, the men, pay mahar?" So I looked at him and said, "Baji, oh old man, no pay, no play." You see, you can't play free of charge, you know, you have to pay also. So imagine the second sacrifice the wife made. She left her place of birth. She leaving her beloved parents, her siblings, everything she's accustomed to for 18, 20, 23, 25, 27 years. And now she's going to spend the remainder of her life with you. So it is a sense of security for her. It is to show appreciation to her. So therefore we pay the marital gift. Sururu shaharin, luzumu maharin, and then gumumu daharin. So what is gumumu daharin? Before I translate it, let me explain to you. So now, Maulana Zahid, we just give example, Maulana Zahid. So now you're not married. Mashallah, Maulana is married, he's got children. So now he's not married. So till now we will say he is bachelor. And then when he gets married, then he becomes a husband. And then after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 children, mashallah, every year, every second year, a new model. So, humum udaharin, a life of responsibilities, a life of dukh and sukh, a life of sadness and prosperity, happiness, adversity. So, because the wife is happy, but the children are ill, the children are happy, the wife is ill. So now there's so many responsibilities. So therefore, remember when people tell me they want to take a second wife, third wife, fourth wife, we come into that just now. So see, we carry on with a definition. What did he say? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, sururu shaharin. Then he said, "Waluzu muqabarin." Sorry, sururu shaharin, 1 month's happiness. Waluzu mumaharin, and you must pay the mahar. Wagumu daharin, and whole life responsibility. Now you must remember sadness, everything. And then next one, wakusuru shaharin, wakusuru shaharin, and the back is broken. Why? Because the expenses are increasing. In Afrikaans, they have a beautiful saying, klein kinders, klein probleme, groot kinders, groot probleme. That when you have small children, then it's small problems. When you have big children, bigger problems, their demands keep on increasing. So you see the husband, the father. Now, in Memon, we got the proper word for it. You say, vako varivane. That person goes into ruku now. You can see he's going back, you know, hunchback. So these people who take two wives, three wives, four wives, you see almost they're walking in ruku. You understand? Because now all the responsibilities and the wives, they trouble him so much that bichara, this person here is gone now, kusuru zaharin. His back is broken. So you, my brother, you, my sister, today is your nikah day, tomorrow is your nikah day. So always remember that it might be the happiest day in your life. But in Islam, we always remember one thing. And what is that? Sururu shaharin, luzumu maharin, then gumumu daharin, kusuru zaharin. And the last one, nuzulu qabarin, that death is hovering above our head. So always think the day we'll be lowered into the grave also. So how will we answer Almighty Allah? How did I treat my wife? How did the wife treat the husband? So this is a complete, comprehensive, beautiful, wonderful definition. And every phrase ends with a ra, with a re. Therefore, I gave you the example of Surah Kawthar, chapter 108, sururu shaharin, luzumu maharin, humumu daharin, kusuru zaharin, and nuzulu qabarin. How beautiful it was. Therefore, you must read the sayings and the poetry of Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu warda, a master, a linguist par excellence of the Arabic language.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, what is the purpose and the objective of nikah?
See, whether a person is Muslim, non-Muslim, whether a person is belonging to any faith, so you will have any normal human being. The male will have two, you must remember, shahwat. You will have two desires. What is the desire? Shahwatul batan and shahwatul farj. Shahwatul batan, that every human being, we feel hungry. So we want to eat, we want to drink, and and all. And if we have a good wife who knows how to cook properly, and in short period of time, she will learn all your favorite meals, your favorite dish. And then you will see that after marriage, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, not only is her waistline and all that increasing because she's pregnant, you will see that you also getting and picking up a little bit weight. So that's a sign of a happy marriage. Both of them are increasing, you see. So that is Shahwatul Batn. And then you have Shahwatul Farj. And what is Shahwatul Farj? Every human being, normal human being, you have that lust, that desires, that whims and fancies. So today's modern day world, what they say? They say you can just live in as lovers. What is there? You must remember this. I'll tell you a story, an anecdote just now. So Islam introduced the sacred institution of nikah and said, no, you get married and in a halal manner you can fulfill your lust, your desires, your passion and so forth. So both parties now, they are shahwatul batn, shahwatul farj, the hunger also will be removed and the desires, the warm senses will also be fulfilled via the conjugal rights and so forth. One day when I was in Newcastle, still under apartheid in the 80s, so I remember very well, I went to the post office, maybe some parcel came or something. So that white lady there, she looked at me, she said, you're a priest. So I told her, you know, you saying priest, but we don't believe in priesthood in Islam, so I'm a scholar of Islam, you know, let that explain to her. Then she asked me, you married? I said, yes. Then she said herself, before I could ask her, she said, see, me, I'm not married. That she is not married, but she's living with her lover. So she posed the question to me, what is the difference between her and herself and her lover and me and my wife? She said, what is the difference? No real difference. Only thing, you got a certificate that you are married and she doesn't have a certificate. That's the only difference. I said, no, madam, there's a big difference. So she asked me what. So I said, see, madam, when you allow yourself to be a live-in lover, then you are the masterpiece of Almighty Allah's creation. Now you have you have relegated yourself and you have debased yourself to the level of animals. That is what animals do. Today they are busy with this one, then the next one, then the next one. They have mating season and so forth. So in Islam we have a ceremony and that is called nikah, and their conditions, as we'll explain just now. So you must remember, this is how human being then distinguishes himself from animals, because we are the masterpiece of Almighty Allah's creation. And let me go further also and tell you, just now I used one word and I told you that nikah is a sacred institution, and tonight you should be reading it, in fact, and that is Surah Dukhan. It's sunnah to read it tonight on Thursday night, every night in fact, but Thursday night more so, Laylatul Jumu'ah, and see what Almighty Allah states. Surah chapter 44, Surah Dukhan, the chapter on the smoke, and verse 54. So easy reference, chapter Surah 44, verse 54, وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. And Allah says, we perform the nikah of the men, the women in Jannah, the beautiful hoors, the damsels of Jannah, fair, fair complexion, beautiful, beautiful eyes. Therefore, they are called Hura'in. Here in this world, Maulana Zahid Khan, he performs the nikah. I solemnize the nikah and so forth. There, Allah Jalla wa Allah will perform the nikah. Hence, from there we deduce this institution of nikah is so sacred, it will continue even in the year after. So the answer like that I gave her, not in so much much detail. Then she just kept quiet and looked at me. So therefore I always say, and therefore whether it's Safar or Hadar, whether I'm in my hometown or whether traveling, and I see people and then we speak about Islam, I always put the challenge to them, especially non-Muslims. I say, you ask me any question regarding Islam, then an easy way to solve the problem, you juxtapose it, you compare what Islam is teaching, and then bring their system and see. So that is the beauty. So you ask Maulana, what is the purpose, the objective of nikah? So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is giving us the objective of nikah, and every Muslim should read this one page of the noble Quran, and from there you will see the signs, the symbols of Almighty Allah. Which page is it? Surah 30, chapter 30, Surah Rum, and regarding the Romans and so forth, and it is in the 21st Supara, and chapter 30, Surah Rum, verses number 20, and you go on right up to 25. And what does Almighty Allah say? وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. Every verse starts, and these are the signs and symbols of Almighty Allah. When I go to Durban, Umslanga, and if I have to go down to the water, so then you see there people walking. And you must remember, sometime you see that the animals were walking. Al-ba'aratu tadullu al-ba'ir. The mess and the dung of the animal shows you there was an animal walking here. Well, aqdam and the footprints tadullu al-insan. That the footprints will tell you that whether it was a child walking or whether it was an adult walking. So Allah is telling us, therefore every verse in the noble Quran is called ayah, a sign and a symbol of Almighty Allah. 6236. So we're reading one now. Chapter number 30, verse number 21. And from his signs and symbols, Allah created for you, O human being, O Adam, that you get married from your own species, from your own kind. You must say, not an animal or a rodent or a snake or a fish. No, you get married human being to human being, male and female. So Adam and Eve. But this modern society came, the satanic society, and they said Adam and Eve, Adam and Steve, Madam and Eve. So that is all condemned and punishable by death in Islam. So your husband, wife, wife, husband, litaskunu ilayha. So the first thing you must get in marriage is what? Sukoon, peace, tranquility, serenity. You walk in your house, you look at your wife, so you feel that peace. You embrace her, so there already the body heat is there. You live in a house, the house must be a home, and the home must be Dar es Salaam, a home of peace, tranquility, serenity. That is what Islam is teaching. And you have the family unit. When you have the family unit, then remember that is stable, then you build the dynamic society. Today's modernism, secularism, atheism, Satanism, capitalism wants to destroy the very fabric of society. How? They tell you your marriage is unimportant. Religion is a private matter. You must practice in your house. Don't come tell us about religion. So that is why we say secularism is a curse. Remember that. It means to develop and promote a society that is a godless society. So litaskunu ilayha. In Islam, when you marry your wife, you are my sister, you marry your husband, you are virtual strangers. There's no date. There's no smooching, there's no kissing, nothing and all that. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّ. As time progresses, Allah increases the love. And then you marry 30, 40, 50 years, then you don't have to tell your wife, oh my poppy, oh my darling, oh my sweetheart, every day I love you. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Now the mercy, the compassion comes in. See how Allah spoke. First, sukoon, peace, peace, tranquility. You have to gel with one another. When husband and wife meet, is not only the bodies must meet, the hearts must meet. When the hearts meet, then there's unity of thought. When there's unity of thought, then you both go through the same direction, and you fight the turbulence in the plane, you go through the waves in the ocean, you go through the vicissitudes and ups and downs of life. All that will happen, and that is how you bring sukoon. Then the love will increase, the mercy will come. Who will understand this? Inna fi dhalika la ayatil liqawmi yatafakkaroon. Indeed, in this there are signs only for those people who have tafakkur, who wonder, ponder, reflect in the kudrat ka karishma hai, in the manifestation of the power of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Surah Tati, Surah Rum, and remember verse 21. So chapter 30, verse 21.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, what is the difference between Muslims and non-Muslims in terms of marriages and other religions?
Remember, there are so many differences. Let's just break it up in 2-3 different ways. Number one, take the Kuffar Shias. The Shias are Kuffar. If you take only this one point, is sufficient to make them non-Muslim. When I went to Iran, you must remember they gave me books and so forth. When I was in Newcastle for 20 years, mashallah, I used to write letters to them in Arabic, and I used to write Abdul Qadir Husseini. So you must remember, they were like sure that they have some Shia friend here. You see, Al-Harbu Khud'a. When you are dealing with your enemies, then remember, then you can use deception also. And in this, there's no deception. I can call myself Abdul Qadir Hussein, and from Arabic I can call them Abdul Qadir Husseini as well. So it's fine, there's no real problem there. But just to explain to you, so I should tell them that please send me kitabs in Arabic, Urdu, English. So many books they sent, there is over 100. So one book I got from them, you must remember, is called Tawdihul Masail. You must write this name down, Maulana. Tawdihul Masail. You know Tawdih, that the clarification and the elaboration, explanation and cleaning up and all that. So of the Masail, by who? By Khomeini. They got their big imam, and we say La'anahullah, Allah's curse be on him. He's non-Muslim also. So you must remember, Khomeini writes in this book which I have. So you, and they gave it to me, that a person can make mut'a with a lady for one day also. So imagine, one day. So you must remember that. One day, one week, whatever you agree on, you must remember, is fine. So I'm posing the question to you. The time now is going in South Africa to 11:30. So now you, Mr. ABC male, you meet lady, madam XYZ. So in their mut'a, in their system, you don't need witnesses, you don't need the father's permission. They must be taradhi et tarafain. They must be both parties are happy. So you give her, you must remember, a certain sum. 50 rand, 50 rupees, $50, 100, whatever you agree on. And you tell her 1 hour, one day, even 1 hour he wrote is permissible. So you must remember that. So you must remember, Khomeini wrote even 1 hour. So you must remember. So you must remember that you use her. So from 11:30 to 12:30 you use her. So I pose a question to you and to any person who removes his jaundiced eye and prejudiceness and biasness. What will you call that? Hazrat Jafar Sadiq was asked, Ma hukmul mut'a ya Sheikh? What is the ruling of mut'a? Qala hiya zina bi'ayniha. He said, our Ustad Sheikh Mahmud Ali Sabuni Rahimahullah, who passed away a few months ago in Turkey, Istanbul, he wrote a book on nikah, and in there he mentioned the saying about muta also. That Hazrat Jafar Sadiq said is 100% prostitution. One day the BBC, they're not guys like us, we small chewing gums, you must remember. So they sent an undercover agent, and you can go find it on their documentaries and that. And this was in Iraq. Iraq also majority Shia, Iran also majority Shia. The only difference is that Iraq is Arabic speaking and Iran is Farsi speaking, Persian speaking, but both are Shia. So that he went, and he went to their shops and all that where these deals take place, to make like he's a potential client, and he had a hidden camera and all these things. So in there, then he prepared the whole documentary, and then they released it to the world. They are non-Muslim. Even they say that these people say they are so strict, but in this, they're promoting 100% prostitution. See, the Iranian government, Iraqi government, and them, one of them or both of them, they even objected on this. So, but that is the truth. It's 100% prostitution. Leave everything else. On this grounds alone, you can say Shia is a kuffar and out of the fold of Islam. So, which we always say, remember that. So, that is one. Then you take Christianity. So, Christianity, you see that if you want to be a priest, you want to be a nun. I'm speaking of Catholics. So, they say you must practice on celibacy. What is the meaning of celibacy? A tabattul. What tabattal ilayhi tabatila, Quran says. So, therefore, you must remember Islam said there's no such thing like that. Celibacy is not acceptable in Islam. So, what happened is, they said, no, you can't get married. So, you see now, how many priests are busy with the children, so the boys and so forth. So, scandal upon scandal, pedophilia in the church. How many monks are busy with the nuns? So, you see monkey business going on there. So, all this. So, when you study Islam, Islam is a religion based on fitrah. Fitratullahi allati fataran nasa alayha. فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. So from Adam alayhi salam's time, he was alone in Jannah, but no wife, no life. So remember, he felt lonely. Ya Allah, I need a spouse. Allah Jalla wala created from him. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. And from him, Allah created, remember, the spouse, Sayyida Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha. So that is how that is. Allah is teaching us. A normal male will be inclined to a female. The female will be inclined towards the male. So how are we going to bring those two together? Remember that we bring them through the institution of nikah, the ceremony takes place and so forth. You take the Jews, you take the Christians, you must remember this. They all have their own system and so forth. But the problem is, you must remember that they all have one huge problem. What is the problem they have in today's democracy? You go to the rogue apartheid regime of Israel, you go to Rome, which we've been to all these places with Allah, to Italy and so forth. So you go to these places, Vatican, whatever, go to any one of them, so you will see, they will tell you that no, you must only have one wife. You can't have two wives, three wives, four wives. They will charge you for bigamy, and they will charge you that how could you take two, three, four wives at one time. But the same countries, you can have 10 girlfriends, 100 girlfriends. Go ask Clinton what he was doing there in the White House with Monica, and that is permissible according to them. Two consenting adults. So you have a system that you can only have one wife, but you can have a string of girlfriends. And you have Islam, and Islam says no, that you can have one wife, two wives, three wives, four wives, provided that there's justice, you have the financial means, and all these are conditions as enshrined in the Noble Quran, Surah 4, Chapter 4, Verse number 3. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. So therefore we see in Allah's system, you take South Africa, Cape Town. If you take Cape Town, now whose survey and whose analysis and all that you want to accept? So you will find that 6 females per male, 7 females per male, 8-9 females per male. So depending whose survey you want to accept. Go to our neighboring country where there's so much chaos and turmoil nowadays, Swaziland. So you must remember there, when I went there, I've been how many times there? 5-6 times, I can't remember. So if you go there, you ask them what's the ratio, they will tell you 8-1, 10-1 for one male. So the king got 15, 16 wives. The person is allowed there legally, Swazi law, 8 wives you can take, the last time I went. So why they say that? Because the ratio is like that. So Allah's system is such that most countries you go in the world, you will find the female population is much more. So what if people do like in India and that, once they know, they go for the scan. So she's pregnant 4 months, 5 months, 3 months, 2, whatever. And then they go abortion, kill the daughter, finish. So that is one option. So that is murder in Islam. Islam says infanticide is haram, unlawful, and feticide is haram. Feticide is the baby is still in the womb, and abortion is murder. Second one, infanticide, the baby is born, what the Arabs used to do prior to Islam, that al-wa'd, they used to kill the daughters and murder with their own bare hands. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. So the baby will be asked, what crime did you commit that they killed you? So remember, Islam came about with a natural system, and therefore we say that all these systems, the Jewish system, Christian system, celibacy, muta of the kuffar, Shias, live in lovers, all are cursed and not acceptable. The only way that you can lead to a pure, chaste life, and a life where you will produce a dynamic fabric of society and a chaste society. Another point also you must remember, everything that leads to nikah, Islam made very easy. What Islam said, inna a'adhaman nikahi baraka aysaruhu ma'una. The best nikah as far as baraka, blessing goes, is where the least expenditure. See, so we don't have all these millions and millions. That is we, our rich people, the Indians and the Arabs and so forth, that we brought about all these things here. Otherwise, Islam did not say all this extravagance. And you see, that which is the best mahar, aysaruhu. So the best one also is easy mahar, you just give and so forth. So today, people have decided to put their daughters, not all, but many people, on auction. I'll give my daughter to the richest suitor. The suitor can be a shooter also. So you must remember the person who will pay the biggest mahar. You see, if you study African culture, they have a thing called labola. So in that labola, you have to give cows and all that. The father-in-law must get, the mother-in-law must get, this one must get, and then the wife will get. So Islam, we don't have these things here. Islam, all this you must remember, is now finished. There's nothing like that. So when you study Islam, then you will see all the avenues to zina, fornication, adultery are closed. You can't be alone with the opposite gender stranger. And if a person commits fornication, 100 lashes in public for male or female, Surah 24 verse 2. So all, if you study Islam without a jaundiced eye, you remove the jaundiced eye and the prejudiceness, you will see Islam makes it very difficult for a person to commit fornication, adultery, and always we will tell you, get married as soon as possible. That is what Islam is. And today's Western system, they'll tell you, no, you young only once, so enjoy yourself. Have boyfriend, have girlfriend, have tribal, try it out, everything does that. So you see how many bees there are, how many illegitimate children there are, all these things here. So everything, the antithesis, that is the opposite of Islam, they will promote it, advocate it. See, every second home, Muslim, non-Muslim, has become a house like a brothel. You must remember that pornography is there on the screen. You must remember that the homosexuals are busy, the zina is busy, the fornication is busy, the orgies are busy. Everything is shown. So, and who's watching? Husband, wife, the daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, mother and children are watching. So what are you doing? You're making the people desensitized. You're telling them that this will be acceptable. And you can see this is already happening. happening in our society, that people will say that no, if this person, yeah, Adam wants to get married to Eve, it's fine. He wants to get married to Steve also, it's fine, because it's his democratic rights. So that type of democratic right and human right, Islam says you must give death penalty. So that is how people lose their iman, they lose their focus, and remember, they get their priorities wrong. So therefore, they don't have to shoot a bullet, they control the thought process. Once you control the thought process, you won the war already. The intellectual invasion, al-ghazwul fikri, we say in Arabic. So that is how, they see the Arab puppet, the plenipot dictators, murtads, most of them. So that is what happened to them. Islam for them is something just by the way. Friday you become Muslim, Ramadan you become Muslim, Eid day. But they worship the West because the whole thought process has, they have been trained by the West to think just like them. The name is Bilal, but Bilal must think like Bali. The name is Mary, Maryam, but her thought will be like Mary. So that is what Islam objects to.
Alhamdulillah, we return back to this program. Mufti Sahab, the next question is, how important and what should be the method when selecting a spouse?
To all you, my brothers, my sisters, now you are growing up, you are baligh, you 13, 14, 15, 16. You, the parents, all of you. So you should be reading 2 rakat salat daily. For example, today after Zuhr, oh, you must remember after Maghrib is Laylatul Jumu'ah, the night of Friday, or after Isha. Oh, Allah give tawfiq, tomorrow morning you wake up 2:30, 3 o'clock, and then you read 2, 4, 6, 8 rakats tahajjud. So whenever is convenient for you, but consistency is the key. So read that 2 rakat salat daily. And after reading it, you must by heart this verse, simple, Surah chapter 25, Surah Furqan. And this is in the 19th Supara by the first quarter, where the first quarter ends. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Oh, beloved Allah, grant us such spouses, grant us such children and offspring that are the coolness of the eyes. When you get married, you don't get tired of looking at your wife. The wife does not get tired of looking at the husband. Why? Because Allah brought that love in the heart, you must remember. You don't get tired of looking at your children. The children don't get tired. Anko ke tandak banjai, anko ka surma banjai. So they become, you must remember in Urdu, it's beautiful translation, anko ke tandak or anko ka surma. So it means the happiness, and anko ketandak, the happiness of the eyes, the coolness of the eyes. So it means you see your wife, they see the husband, you see your children, all engaged and engrossed fi ta'atillah. All are engaged in doing good actions that are pleasing to Almighty Allah. So that is my first message to you who are not married. Every day 2 rakat salat, and Allah will make the means, then you will get a very good spouse, someone compatible, suitable, good for you. And even when you married, and even if you married 10, 20, 40, 50 years, you continue reading. In Arabic, we have a saying, you know, beautiful saying. It's not hadith, it's a saying, like a proverb. And then, Hammul banat ilal mamat. Hammul banat ilal mamat. So people are worried of their children, and you have to be worried, but they're more concerned about their daughters compared to sons. So Mona Zahidi, I think he got 3 children more.
Three.
Yeah, 3 children. Let's just make it 4. You don't understand. Next year before, inshallah. So 2 sons and 2 daughters. For example, right? We just example. So now Maulana got, for example, next year is 4. So 2 sons, 2 daughters. So in a case like that, you will see when they grow up, then they have more concern for the daughters, because sons can deal their things, you see. Allah made them physically also stronger and so forth. And they can face the, you know, challenges of life much easier. So anyway, so now you are worried. Your daughter is 19, 18, 20, 25 and so forth, and still not married. So you as a father, as a mother, as grandparents, dada, dadi, nana, nani, paternal grandparents, maternal grandparents, what must you read? You also have to read. You want your children, your pota, poti, nawasa, nawasi, your grandchildren to get married. So same surah, chapter 25, verse 54. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا. He, Allah, created the human being from that semen and sperm. فَجَعَلَهُ نَسَبًا. Allah Jalla Wala made for them a nasab. What is a nasab? My father passed away, 1982. Ismail, Allah give Jannatul Firdaus. My beloved mother passed away, 97. So remember, Allah grant Jannatul Firdaus. So that's our nasab, our lineage. And wasihra. And then we got married. So I have father-in-law, mother-in-law. So father-in-law passed away, you must remember, in 91. And that is, you must remember, Usman. So Allah grant Jannatul Firdaus. And then you must, mother-in-law passed away 2001. So what a Halima. So you must remember, Allah grant all of them. They were very pious people. Jannatul Firdaus, so all of them. So the point I'm making, so you, O father, mother, grandparents, make special dua for your children, grandchildren, all of them. And how? Surah 25, verse 74, that is for your marriage to subsist, continue. You are together in this world and you're together in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. And you want your flowers, your children, grandchildren to get married, so read Surah 25, verse 54. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا فَجَأَلَهُ نَسَبًا وَسِحْرًا. See the glory, beauty, style, diction of the noble Quran. Now we come to the next one. My son, my daughter, 18, 20 years old. Now selection of the spouse. So this is mentioned by Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith is mentioned in Mishkat Sharif. The hadith is mentioned, you must remember, in Musnad Ahmad, Ibn Majah, various compilations. When you get married now, I want to marry, and this happened to me. So I was in Makkah and I used to cry, hold the Kaaba Musharrafa, Ya Allah, I want to settle down, this, that. So now you want to get married. So people will tell you a lot of things, but you must know what Quran Sharif said, what the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam said. So Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi salam said, Tunkahul Mar'a li Arba'in, that you get married to the lady for four reasons. Four things people normally choose. Lima liha, because she's wealthy. Now this person say, hey man, me, I was born poor. I don't want this poor wife and that again. Let me rather just get married to some millionaires, you see. So at least I can also drive a smart car and live in a smart house. So Nabi alayhi salam said, the hadith in Musnad Ahmad, when your intention is to marry the girl just for her money and her assets and property, for innama adhallahu Allah, Allah will disgrace him. And we see today what happens. Wali jamaliha, and you marry her for her jamal, her beauty. And this is where today our youngsters, our families go wrong. They make this criteria number one. Islam is not against the mal. Islam is not against the jamal. It's not against the wealth or the beauty and handsomeness. But don't make that priority number one or priority number two. Make it lower on your list. That is what Islam is saying. So limaliha wali jamali. Myself, people love stories. Let me give. So my beloved mother used to tell me, hibo sari chokriya, you see, that our family girl get. So I used to tell my beloved mother, ma, out of molvi sapya, I'm a molvi, you understand, and that, you know, our wages that time, you know, all these things here. So that I wasn't working when I got married, I was still studying and all, but I should tell. So you must remember that. So I said that, no, I don't want. I want poor girl. You get married to this rich girl, they sit on your head most of the time, you know, they want to come dictate to you. I said, no, I don't want all this. You understood? So then it was Alhamdulillah. So Allah's fadl always hada min faldi rabbi lima liha wali jamaliha wali hasabiha. So you want to get married in the higher strata of society. Say, no, let me get married married in a famous family, so I also will become famous. You see, how we can get married just to some family, non-entities? No. So this is all human beings' worms, fancies and desires. Habibuna rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, number 4, wali deeniha. Get married to the person for the deen, for the piety, for the aqidah. They belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Their belief structure is right. Today people are marrying Qadianis, Ahmadi, Shia, Aga Khani. Anybody come, I be Haruche and I be Haruche. It's all shaitaniyat, all that. People want to get married to Christian lady and non-Muslim lady. So what will happen to your children? They'll make them all Christian also. So you must remember all these type of things. So all this haram, not permissible. We must be clear on these issues. So priority number one is the piety. How will you know? So you must make investigation. How is this family? How is their income? How is their salat? With which ulama do they keep contact, and so forth and so on? So you have your intelligence, you gather, you make your own homework and so forth. And then look at the akhlaq and the character of the people. So first is the belief and the piety, and second is the character. Because you must remember, marriage is for dawam, is for a long time partnership. You will have to live with that person. So sometimes that person can be very good as far as belief go, they pious, does that, but that lady, her character is little bit, her tongue is so sharp, everything, she will just cut you off and tear you up. That husband, you must remember, that is like a pressure cooker. Like every time he will just get, you understand, so angry, and he will just blow his top and so forth. So you must look at that. Then you get your daughter married, then you get your son married. Another big problem we got in our society, in our Indian society especially. So normally the trend will be that the boy will go, you speak to the girl's father and so forth, then you, the boy, with your parents, you will go there also, and then you look at the girl, you're happy and so forth, then you propose. I'll come to that, what must you do and so forth. So you must remember, that's fine. But sometimes when the girl now, if you see she's 50, she's 20, 25, 30, now nobody coming, so you must pass the word around also and say, I got a good daughter, good sister, good niece and so forth. So Islam, there's nothing wrong in that. Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, marrying Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the go-between? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not propose. Who proposed? You must remember, Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha saw the akhlaq-e-kareema, the sublime character, the honesty, integrity. And then there was a lady, Nafisa. Nafisa came radiallahu anha with that proposal and so forth. So Sayyidina Khadija proposed. So what you going to say? Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salam proposed for his daughters to Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Inni uridu an unkihaka ihdabnatayya hatain. So in our Meman, our Gujarati, our Urdu, he say, he was not a pegam bej diya, hamara naak kaat diya. He say, ita kuro kariyo, panjo sajo naak kapi vajjo. That we are crazy people, you know, that we say, how can we propose, our daughter propose, and we propose to the boy and all this. That is because we took the Indian custom and got taught and imagined that to be Sharia. That is not Sharia. That is a custom, a tradition, a rasam, a riwaj, which is in conflict with Sharia. So understand this type of things here. Now somebody comes to see my daughter, my sister, my niece, whatever. So we don't leave him and her alone. Remember that. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yakhluwanna rajulun bimraatin illa wa thalithuma shaitan. That whenever a strange male, strange woman are there and they're alone, the third party is shaitan. Open Mishka actually, if you will find. So the girl's father, girl's brother. Brother, we don't mean much small, like Tiki now, 5, 6, 7 years old. He must be Baligh and 15, 20, 20. Like. So he must be the poisa. He must be the god, you see. Otherwise, today the boys can do a lot of things, you know, ask some crazy questions and so. So you must, so you ask the age, you can speak, you must remember for a little while that which masjid you go for salat, what is your income? Big question for nowadays, and I encourage this. You, the girls, you must ask that suitor. Let's call him the suitor. So you must ask him that he's interested in you, that, okay, if she marries you, that girl will marry you, my niece, for example. So where will they live? Will they live with the in-laws or will they live separately? Remember, these kind of questions you must ask. Don't just leave it hanging in the air. Because nowadays, I repeat and reiterate, nowadays, when daughter-in-law and mother-in-law, they have that war of theirs, then you, the son, you look at your mother, you're crying. You're looking at your wife, you're crying. You're torn between loyalties. And 90%, 80% of the time, mother will add some masala and wife will add some masala, and you don't know who's speaking 100% the truth. So to avoid all these problems, rather you live separate. Daytime, you make khidmat of your mother, and whatever she needs, go to her, kiss her hand, and run the errands for her, and you nighttime you go to your wife and children and so forth. That is Islam. So we must be clear on all these type of issues there. So, and not now in Islam, this is all haram what's happening today. Now once the parties are still negotiating or they are fixed, now they already sending WhatsApp messages, they're sending contacting one another by phone, SMS, emails to the females. All this absolutely haram. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. Don't even approach and go near fornication and adultery. How many a time? I mean, I'm in this now 40 years, with more than 40 years with Allah's help. You must remember this. So how many incidents we know of? The person, the mother will tell me, ke, I bo haru chokru che, bo haru poiru che. So he's very good, this boy and all. They say, alright. So they say, yes. After that, the boy and girl communicating, does that argument took place, that boy, he's not even married, maybe engaged, not engaged. So we'll discuss engagement next, make a note of it in next week, inshallah. It's a series we're going to run now, so we'll discuss about engagement next week. So anyway, you must remember that whether it's permissible, not permissible, all that we'll discuss. So anyway, he started swearing her, cursing her, all that. They're not married, nothing, and already all the FNB started. So they asked me, I said, just go and read 2 rakat salatu shukr and say, Ya Allah, is better, everything happened now. He showed us his true colors. Imagine after marriage what he will do. So you must remember these things here. So we ourselves, another point before I finish now, that this business, that now we are end of October. So when you're going to get married? No, next year after Ramadan. All this is shaitaniyat, you must remember that. That we delay the marriage for 6 months, 8 months, 1 year, 2 years. I went to see my wife, I said, tomorrow we get married. He said, no, you can't get married in all the. I said, okay, after 1 week. He said, no, after 1 month we get married. So we got married after 6 weeks or so and all that, 6-7 weeks. Got married, we went Karachi, no house, no nothing. So you must remember that. Then slowly Allah give you everything. So that is how Islam wants everything to happen quick. You must remember that. So Allah Ta'ala give us the true understanding and read Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadudu abundantly. Allah will bless you with a good husband, good wife, and good children, inshallah. Okay, next up we got the news, inshallah, and then we got the lessons from the Sahaba, Mawlana Qatani, 12 to 1, 1 o'clock Adhan, 1:05 to 1:30, report back. Today we speak about the local elections, 1:30 to 2, we're doing Surah Yusuf, this will be live, I will be doing live, how I did yesterday, because these portions were missing, so that this is just for yesterday and today. So chapter 12, Surah Yusuf, verses 65 to 68, 2 to 3 Mona Zaid on A, Madrasa on A, inshallah, 3 to 3:30 the repeat of this morning's Q&A, 3:30 to 4 Mona, that is Hamara Kamzor Iman, that our Iman has become so weak. This is Hazrat Mona Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib, he's buried in Medina Munawwara, so very interesting in Urdu. 4 to 5, inshallah, relationship between parents, wives and children. Very important by Mohana Harun Saab of Spingo Beach, who passed away. So very good day between 4 and 5. 5 to 7, Mohana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7.30, the repeat of last week's khutbah and the translation. And that 7.30 to 8, Mohana Yunus Patel. And 8 to 10 will be our Mohana Arafat. And that will be the discussion with Mohana Salim Karim. And 10 to 11, waking up. You must remember to the propaganda of magic and so forth. So Mohana Ridwan Kaji. So good programs, inshallah. Make dua tonight is Laylatul Jumu'ah. Abandon Durood Sharif, Surah Kahf, Surah Dukhan. Inshallah, next up the news with Brother Yusuf Ali. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
We say jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Saab and to all our listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.